tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you only have to say the words, put them under pressure, and most people are transported to the happy days of Italia 90. It's been called the greatest sports anthem ever. And the story behind Put Them Under Pressure will be told on RTE Radio 1 this St. Patrick's Day, this day week. The presenter and producer of the documentary is Will Leahy, and Will is in our Limerick studio. Good afternoon, Will Leahy.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. Congratulations on the documentary. I listened to it over the weekend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of say to yourself, how has this story never been told before? But it hasn't, so thankfully for me it wasn't.
And there's a bit of a revelation in it. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, because it's no anniversary, it's 1990, so why did you decide to do it this year?
Well, I'll tell you, last year, Taylor Swift, as you know, played in the Aviva, and in the middle of the concert, everyone started singing Ole, 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 which is not unusual at an Irish music event. But they did it for about 2 minutes, and she stood there and was sort of looking around going, what is this strange ritual these Irish people are doing? And then it happened at the Lizzo concert in the Three Arena, and then it happened again at Coldplay, and it just, videos started going around on Instagram, and it got me thinking, the average person at a Lizzo concert was not alive in 1990.
Fair
and
enough.
Does not know why they're singing Ole, Ole, Ole. They just know that it's a thing that we do, we Irish do, when there's sort of a gap in proceedings. You start singing Ole, 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 and I'm sure some of your listeners will have heard Irish people singing it in all four corners of the earth, in the strangest of places. Mm. But I'm sure you've heard it yourself in the strangest of places. It got me thinking that, you know, why should we find out why we still sing this song? And
yes,
it goes all the way back then to that amazing summer.
And did Ole 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 predate Put Them Under Pressure?
It did. Yes. Ole Ole Ole, it comes from the Spanish bullfighting chant of Ole. And then in the mid-80s, it was adopted by Anderlecht Football Club, and they brought out a French language song called Allez, Allez, Allez. And then that was adopted by football fans everywhere, and it got translated back into Ole, Ole, Ole. So football fans all over the world use it. It's not just the Irish, but we're the only ones that have stuck it together with other bits.
You see, Mrs. Listener at home, he knows his stuff. He knows his stuff, does Will Leahy.
6 months of it now, Ray. I heard you play the song at 3:10, and I got, that's my 47th time today hearing that.
Whose idea was it to put this song together?
It was Larry Mullen's idea. And I think most people know that Larry Mullen was associated with it, but it wasn't until I started doing the research and until I spoke to him myself that I realised that he's all over the song. He just didn't create the song. He put the ideas together. He had the idea for the four bits, as we call them, to put them all together in a row. He was there for all of it. He was there for the recording. So it really is Larry's baby. And it was great to have him part of the documentary because I didn't know if he'd do it or not. And I was so thrilled he did do it.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear the first person account of the full story.
And Will, where were you two at then in 1990? What were they doing and what were his commitments to the band?
This is the thing. You would have thought the man has no spare time at all. They were in the middle of recording what for some is the greatest Irish album of all time, which is Achtung Baby. Joshua Tree came out in 87. Achtung Baby came out sometime after Ole Ole Ole. They recorded a lot of that in Germany, and then they came back to Dublin. And in the middle of all that, he had some time to do this song. It was proposed to him through an intermediary of the Players. The Players wanted to create their own song. They didn't quite know how to go about doing it. And someone had mentioned that Larry loved football. So someone said, oh, hang on a second, why don't we ask him? And you would expect everybody to turn around and say, well, that's never going to happen. But it did happen.
Yeah.
And so when Larry was asked to do the song, he sat down and he said, right, what can we do that's original and that's unique? He didn't want to create what they call a novelty record. He wanted to create something that would last the test of time. And as we're still singing it and talking about it 35 years later, I think it has stood the test of time.
Yeah, just even like just the reaction from playing at 3:10, that has to be the most feel-good song of a generation. What a time to be Irish. The hair is standing on the back of my neck. Listen to those Illan pipes. I remember the night clubs going mental to the song. What a time we had, unreal times, says that person. So you're saying that there are four elements, there could be more, but it's all these bits put together perfectly.
Yeah, it's sort of like a sound collage. So the four parts are the Darragh Doom riff. Anybody who was around in the 1970s will know the famous Horselips Darragh Doom riff, which goes, that's it.
You say it, I play it. That's
there
the way it works,
yeah. Instantaneous. It's like Atlantic 252.
Yeah, so go on. That's the riff then.
So Larry's idea was to put this together with the other pieces. He asked around as to what were the well-known football chants of the 80s, and ole, ole, ole was suggested to him. Ole! And then the chorus is an old American Civil War tune called Tramp, Tramp, Tramp that's been used by lots of people, which is this.
So they all existed.
They did. They were always there. So it's sort of like a bunch of cover versions stuck in on the same song, but put together with such ingenuity and such Irishness as well. When you think about it, then there's the Moya Brennan part at the start. Moya's a huge football fan.
And she was delighted to be asked.
Thrilled to be asked. We didn't know she was a huge football fan before the rest of us were huge Irish football fans in the late 80s. And she just wanted to be part of it. So they said, right, let's come up with this intro, and they put that together.
It just works so well, doesn't it?
It puts you right back as to where you were. And it's very hard to explain to people who are under the age of 40 or 45 what that summer was like. And we will never have a summer like that again. To think that we qualified for our first World Cup and got to the quarterfinal. I mean, it just beggars belief that it actually happened at all.
And of course, at that time, sampling was coming into its own, wasn't it?
It was. You remember the Paul Hardcastle sampling was a big thing in the late 80s. So they got the bits of Jack from a TV documentary that was out at the time called Que Sera Sera. And they listened through to the documentary and found little bits of Jack. And that's how you hear the go and compete and the put them under pressure bits.
A few of them here.
We'll prepare and we'll go and we'll do our best. We'll put them under pressure. The game is about being effective, being aggressive, winning the ball, getting on with the play. We'll put them under pressure.
And he did a lovely rhythm to his voice.
There you go. Who would have known?
Because not every voice would work. He's just had that lovely rhythm.
It's not going to be easy for us, but it's not going to be easy for them either. We inflict our game on the people. Put them under pressure.
Did you know that at the very end of the song, this happens?
Put them under pressure.
I did, Then again, I was a DJ like you were at the time, Ray. Right. And I remember when you were a DJ back in 1990 at a wedding or whatever, you would play that song four or five times. In fact, you could just play that song all night and go home, and that was fine.
Okay, so there were real musicians on it as well. So Moya was singing at the start there.
Yeah, you're the greatest Ilan pipist in the world. Davy Spillane provided the Ilan pipes. And what I didn't know at the time was, and it was only thanks to Shane Freeman, who managed to break out the songs using the Beatles Now and Then technology, we were able to break out the different pieces, the different instruments. So you're able to hear Davy Spillane, who sneaks in a little bit of Auron Levine that you actually, I can't hear it in the mix of the song, but we have it broken out in the documentary. You can hear him sneaking in a little bit of Auron Levine.
And there's fiddle on it as well.
There is, which again I find very hard to hear, but because you've heard it so many times, it's probably just all morphed together in your memory. It's a lady called Helen O'Hara, and Larry and Dennis and the rest involved in the recording of the song went to London to record her. And again, none of us knew, but the fiddle player on Put 'Em Under Pressure is also the fiddle player for Dexy's Midnight Runners for Come On Eileen. So the next time you hear Come On Eileen, think Put 'Em Under Pressure, it's the same fiddle player.
Larry Mullen Jr., very high standards.
Yeah, extremely so. And at various points during the project, he would say, you know what, this just isn't good enough. And it's not good enough to put out. I need more ideas. I need more to go into this. And sort of like a coach and a football team, he drove the project forward until he felt it was good enough to be released. And there was times when it may not have come out at all. Yeah. But Larry was determined to see it through to the end.
He says in the documentary that he was using the U2 way of working. They pushed themselves to, you know, as close to perfection as they can. And that's what he was doing with Put 'Em Under Pressure.
And he said they're always trying to come up with something new. Mm. New. We want something different all the time.
Okay, so we've done most of it there. But the singing, of course, was the Irish team, because I was just looking back at a beatbox presented by the late Simon Young and Peter Collins. And they were showing the video for the first time. And it has Put 'Em Under Pressure. Actually, it has Put Them Under Pressure. And it has the Republic of Ireland squad underneath it. They're credited as the artists.
Yeah, you see, this is the thing. People have said to me, because what I'm about to tell you now is a fairly big revelation. And I think, again, people who are very familiar with the song and very familiar with the time might be quite surprised by what I'm about to say. But none of the footballers, and in fact, I think the footballers, if any of them are listening, might get quite a shock when they hear this. None of the Italian 90 Republic of Ireland squad sing on the song, which is odd, considering if you look at this, the credits of the song, it's credited to the Republic of Ireland football squad, but they're not actually singing on
it. Hold on.
Yeah.
I looked back at the video, right? Uh-huh. And there is footage of the players standing in front of microphones and singing, "We're all part of Jackie's army." And even Mick McCarthy is playing the drums.
Indeed, but you didn't really think Mick McCarthy was playing the drums now, did you?
No.
Look, I was the same. I thought, and to be fair, it was kind of always there, but nobody had ever asked the question. If you look at the sleeve of the song, and the song sold 100,000 copies.
Wow.
If you look at the sleeve of the song, it credits the Car Park Choir. Right, so nobody ever asked, "What's the Car Park Choir?" But it turns
out,
there you go. Well, I was just lucky. I was just very lucky that the story was always there, but nobody asked the question.
Right.
So what happened was they recorded the song and they brought in session musicians, proper professional singers, to sing the Olé Olé and the Jackie's Army. But when they listened back to it, they thought, "Do you know what? It just sounds a bit too nice. It's just all a bit too perfect."
Too good, yeah.
So they wanted that rowdy chant that we hear on the song. So it was a Saturday afternoon and Larry said, right, let's see who's in Windmill Lane. Let's find, this is where they recorded the song, the famous Windmill Lane studio. So they got the receptionist, they got two bouncers, and this is my favourite part, they went out into the car park, and those that will remember Dublin City in 1990, there was the famous Windmill Lane mural where U2 fans would come and spray paint their names,
yeah,
and people would visit from all over the world to see the U2 mural, and there was always U2 fans in the car park. So on this Saturday afternoon, they go out into the car park and they bring in a bunch of Spanish tourists who were there in the car park looking to spray paint their name. So on the track itself that you've listened to over and over again for 35 years, number one, there's no player. And number two, what you are hearing are those that were working in Windmill Lane on the day, and I would presume the most shocked and surprised U2 fans there's ever been, because they get brought into the famous Windmill Lane studio to Larry Mullen himself to record the chorus of Put 'Em Under Pressure.
Will, I was listening to Morning Ireland last week and Niall Quinn was on.
Yeah.
And he was telling the story of arriving down to Windmill Lane, being told to go off down and have a drink and come back up. And then they sang on Put 'Em Under Pressure. That's what he said.
And I heard the same thing. And we're going to have to put that into the documentary in some shape or form, because it does show you that the players to this day think they sang. And the reason they did was they came in to record the video that you talked about.
Yeah.
And they did sing along to the track to record the video. Now, at that point, the track was pretty much mixed. The team were on their way to Italy, so you can imagine the song was about to be put into the shops. Now, Larry has said to me that, look, we could have gone back in and remixed the song and put the players in, but at that point, we felt none of them were really, really very competent singers. They weren't really in tune, so there was no need to go back in and remix it. And I suppose what was presented to the public was the Republic of Ireland football squad, and nobody needs to know the difference, and now you do.
You were talking about a remix there, Will. Do you think, I've done my own little remix here, it's the George Hamilton remix.
Okay.
You sound very scared.
Just a small bit.
but you know, maybe. Now, it needs to be mastered and all that, but it works.
Did you do all that by yourself, Ray? Did you now? Now, Mark Ronson rang. He's wondering if you could.
It's the ideas that count.
That's what I keep saying.
You know, you can get somebody to do the technology. It's the ideas that count.
Well, so, yeah. I applaud your efforts.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much, you patronising thing. Yeah. Listen, congratulations, and this isn't patronising, this is genuine. Congratulations on the documentary, and people can hear it in its entirety on St. Patrick's Day here on RTÉ Radio 1. The story behind Put 'Em Under Pressure, and I think people will really enjoy it, and you've done a brilliant job. And thanks for taking time out to talk to us today and
appreciate
coming into
it.
Our
Thank
Limerick
you, Ray. Really
thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Will. See you. Bye. And loads of memories there. The late Con Hoolan said he missed Italia 90 because he was in Italy for it. He said the crack was better in Ireland. What a year. The Irish football team put Ireland on the global sporting map. Irish people are still loved and welcomed in Italy, says that person. And not to forget the great Johnny Feen of Horslips, whose memorable guitar playing from When Derek Doone made that so special. Johnny died last April. May he rest in peace, says Mike. And there is a story about the Horslips and copyright that's in the documentary as well. The greatest summer of Irish sport ever. As a 15-year-old in Igo in Ballybrack with my late father. Unforgettable time, says Gary. Now, in Ishtosh, now the Prief Skelton and Oak to La Padio Grifa.